Now, I'm just a sub for Mr. Allen. As they say, a voice in the gap. But may the Lord help us. I would like to read four scriptures from the Gospel of Luke. The first one in chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. By chapter 16, and verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now chapter 7. We'll cut in at verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Finally, in chapter 13, verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages teaching, and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now the Lord will bless what we have heard. And trust help us to preach the gospel from these scriptures that we have read together tonight. History tells us that in the year 1492, a man by the name of Christopher Columbus, he discovered America. And that was a big discovery. In the year 1847, a man by the name of Sir James Simpson, he discovered chloroform. That was a big discovery. But Mr. Simpson was asked a question. What was the greatest discovery that you ever made? He said that I was a great sinner, and Jesus Christ was a great Savior. Now I would like tonight, by God's help, to draw from these four scriptures discoveries that we have read. In Luke chapter 18, I would like to speak on the publican. He discovered himself a sinner in need of mercy. That's a big thing. In chapter 16, we have read of a man by the name of Lazarus. He died. He made a great discovery. He found out that heaven was real. Abraham's bosom. Also in Luke chapter 16, we have read of a rich man. He also made a discovery. Whenever he died, he found out that the torments of hell, that they were real. But thank God for Luke chapter 7. Here's a woman who loved much sin. She was a big sinner. She discovered in the presence of the Lord Jesus forgiveness. It's a big thing. I read from chapter 13. Here are people, and after the door was shut, the Lord had given a shout. They were standing without, knocking. They discovered through the for heaven. We believe that the Lord is coming. And we believe that he could come tonight. Let me ask each one kindly in this gathering. Would you be found outside knocking? Seeking admittance at a door shut? That will never be opened, as far as you are concerned. Now the Lord may come tonight. Would you welcome him? Are you waiting for his coming? I've been waiting for 43 years. I heard men preach 50 years ago, 55 years ago, about the Lord coming. Many a night when I sat in the gospel meeting, I thought maybe he'd come tonight. And yet he hasn't come as yet. Well, what do you make out of it? Well, I'm 55 years closer to the Lord's coming tonight than when those men preach. But the Lord Jesus Christ may give that shout tonight. And every born-again soul, dead or alive, will rise to meet him in the air. What a gathering! What a company that will be! They were outside because they were not ready. Let me ask you kindly in the meeting, are you ready? 2 Timothy chapter 4, wherein Timothy said, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. His little ship, the ropes have been loosed at the pier. It was about to take its seal out into the great sea of eternity. Be standing on the edge of an unending eternity. What does he say? He says, I am ready. Can you say you're ready? That's a big thing. When did he get ready? A moment in his life at the Damascus Road, where as a lost sinner, he got a view of a crucified, risen, glorified Savior. What a sight. Discoveries that we have read from the Scriptures. Now we have been reminded tonight, there may be some in this meeting for the first time. I don't know. But I know that there are some. It's not your first time. But here's a man, a publican, who discovered that he was a sinner, going to hell and needed mercy. Now you could come to gospel meetings for years, and yet the word of God never really registered in that mind of yours. I sat in gospel meetings. Many a time I thought, well, I would like to be saved. Why do they not get saved? You need to get down to business. What this man did, his sin bothered him. When we speak to boys and girls, we oftentimes learn a lot of things. I've asked them many a time, what would keep you out of heaven? Well, because I don't believe. Well, if you don't believe in Christ, you'll never be in heaven. That's right. Well, I say, well, because I'm not saved. We have been reminded plainly tonight, every soul that's going to be in heaven, they must be saved. Well, if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. But the root cause, it's because of your sin. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's a big pill for some to swallow. That I am a guilty sinner. And that I deserve to be in hell forever. Many don't want to swallow it. Would you like to swallow that tonight? Don't take it from a preacher. My friend, take it from God. There is no righteous. No, not one. Not even you. Not even me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The publican, he made the great discovery. I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell because of my sin. And he went to the temple at the hour of prayer. And he prayed, not lifting up his eyes to heaven, but ashamed of himself, his sin bothering him, his sin as a burden. And he cries, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Is God merciful? Was God merciful? Thank God he was. Now I've preached especially to a girl comes to mind, sat in many meetings that I had, and she told me, she says, Mr. Bingham, I have gone home from the meeting, and I have gotten down beside my bed, and I have prayed the sinner's prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and nothing happened. Salvation is not saying a wee rhyme. It's not saying a few words. People that get God's salvation are those who desire it above all else. Many times she prayed that, and she told me it didn't work, and it won't work unless you're real. Mr. John McCracken and I had meetings in a fishing village. There was a man 61 years of age came to those meetings. He had relatives who were saved and in the assembly, but he had gone wayward, as we term it. But he attended the meetings. Came for 6 weeks. On the Sunday night of the 6th week, he says, I went home after that gospel meeting. I went up the stairs into the bedroom. I fell flat on my face. He says, I cried, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Before he got up from that floor, he was justified. He was saved. He got a glimpse by faith, a look by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for sinners, who took his place, and he was saved. God be merciful. It's a personal call. Not God be merciful to my brother or to my sister. God be merciful to me. A sinner, the sinner, as if I was the only sinner, and as far as he was concerned, the only sinner in need of salvation. A very personal thing, God's salvation, but he meant business. I remember preaching in Vancouver one night, British Columbia. Young man came to the door after the meeting, well-dressed, clean-cut, smiling. I shook his hand. I didn't know him. He was a stranger to me. I said, glad to see you to the meeting tonight. He said, yeah, glad I came. I said, are you saved? Huh. He said, it was a strange thing. I was expecting you to ask me that. And with a smile, he says, no, I'm not saved. Well, I says, keep coming. Didn't come for a few nights, then he came scattered times. Then he began to come each night. And he was sitting on the edge of the seat listening. Listening for eternity. When he came to the door that night, trembling, 19 years of age, he said, this is it. I can't go any further. I want to be saved. He says, I'm going to hell and I can't stop myself. That's a big discovery to make. We read some scriptures with him. I told him I couldn't save him. We read the scriptures with him. But later that night, that young man got God's salvation. The Christians in the basement, they cried to God for a couple of hours. Amongst those believers was his father. I remember he went down, he says, "Dad, I just received." Two men embraced, tears flowed freely. Weeping because he got saved? I'm no friend. There's such a thing as tears of joy, isn't there? You ever shed them? I've shed a few. But he got God's salvation. He discovered himself a sinner in need of mercy. Now for those who have heard much gospel, has it ever dawned and registered in your soul, your sin and your need of mercy and salvation? You see, sometimes gospel preaching just seems to go out the door. We trust it might reach your heart and your conscience tonight, that your conscience might be pricked, that you might be made uneasy in your sin. For if you got God's salvation, the greatest blessing possible for any person ever to have. Now I read that solemn scripture from Luke chapter 16. Here are two discoveries that man made. Two men that lived. Two men that died. Lazarus, his name means God is my helper. He died. It says he was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The place of bliss. The place of comfort. We have been reminded in the Bible readings in relation to the Garden of Eden how beautiful and well spread and planned it must have been, for God planted it. A paradise on earth. What about the paradise in heaven? Lazarus, carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. What a discovery. We could never describe, I couldn't, heaven. But I know it's a grand place. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. But the rich man died. He was buried. It says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. What a discovery. Let me pause a moment. I'd like to ask every individual in this company, you and I are going to discover either an eternal glory or an eternal gloom. The way that you're traveling tonight, would it be to eternal glory or would it be to an eternal gloom? Discovered. Inhaled. What a tragedy. I remember preaching in with Mr. Oz McLeod, a veteran gospel preacher in the United States. We had meetings in Akron, Ohio. The only time I ever preached with him and the only time I was ever there. But we used to cross over a bridge each night going to the meeting. The man in the home where we were staying often told us about, he said, this bridge is the famous place for suicide in the city of Akron, Ohio. Well, maybe stop this car before we went on. And we walked across to the center of the bridge and to Hugga Fall. And we looked down. It was a long way, but there was a river. Just looked like a stream. And he says, I want to tell you men something. About 2 months ago, or 3 months ago, there was a young man stopped his car on this bridge. He got out, went over the side, and went right down. And he was the only one that ever lived after that fall. He was in the hospital, bones broken, out of place, out of joint. But then when he became to amend, newspaper reporters were allowed in to see him. So, of course, they began to fire their questions. One of them asked him, now, whenever you stopped on the bridge, and just when you went over the rail, and you were going down, what were your thoughts? He said, my thoughts? He said, when I saw that bridge getting further away, oh, how I wish I was on that bridge. But he wasn't. He couldn't make it. He was on the way down. I thought of souls dying without Christ, sinking into eternal fire. What were they wishing? Oh, a gospel meeting. An opportunity to get saved. Too late, friend. I wonder will a soul in this company in Lurgan tonight in 1994. Will one person in our gathering find themselves in hell? If you are not saved, there is a great possibility. This is where you'll end. You will, if you die without Christ. The woman found out, discovered forgiveness of sin. In Luke chapter 7, the forgiveness of sin is the greatest blessing possible. We're all guilty before God. What's the best thing we could ever have? Forgiveness. Thy sins be forgiven thee. She loved much, that is, she loved much sin. She was a sinner. Thy sins be forgiven thee. How did she know her sins were forgiven? Did you feel them fly? Did you see a ball go? No, friend. Every person that's saved in this company tonight, there's only one way we know our sins are forgiven. The Lord Jesus said it. Did you need any more? God says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Friend, what about you tonight? Discovery? The forgiveness of sins? But then the Lord's coming. Will there be those for find out, discover, I've missed heaven. The door shut, and I'm knocking. Depart from me. I never knew you. May God help you tonight. to simply rest on God's unchanging Word. Stake your whole eternity on what God has said. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust Him. He will save. He'll save you tonight. The Lord may come. We trust you, be ready for His name's sake. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow in Thy presence solemnly at the close of another gospel meeting. Feel like taking up the language of another and saying, two ways before you lie, you a choice must make. One leads upwards to the sky, the other downward to the lake. Gospel has been faithfully preached again. We thank Thee and bless Thee for giving help to Thy children to make the message known, to make it clear and plain. We remember, O God, what another has said. One ship goes east, one ship goes west, by the self-same wind that blows. It is not the strength of the gale, but the set of the sail that determines the course it must go. And thinking, O God, as the gospel was preached tonight, that summary at the end of the Acts of the Apostles, some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Oh, the difference in heaven and hell. Come before Thee, our God, and we pray that hearts which may have been spoken to and moved in Thy presence tonight, that they might be awakened and aroused still further, and that sinners might be led to faith in our Lord Jesus, as some dear soul or souls in the meeting tonight might procrastinate no longer, but rest their all upon the finished work of Thy Son for salvation. You remember, O God, what the hymn writer said, soon as my all I ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. The devil will seek to tell sinners tonight that it's too simple. But, O God, we bless Thee for the simplicity of the gospel. Just look and live. Wash and be clean, trust and be saved. We ask, O God, that sinners tonight may not stumble over its simplicity, but that they might rest their all upon the work of the Lord Jesus, saved for time and for eternity. Take us each to our homes in safety, we pray, and part us now with Thy blessing. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now shall we sing in closing hymn number 310. Think of the words of this hymn. The Lamb of God for sinners died, a victim on the tree. He gave Himself a sacrifice to set the guilty free. The chorus. I seek no other argument, I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. Number 310, shall we rise to sin?